Hello and welcome. I'm Goblin, and tonight, what we are going to do is take a look at several stories or reports from the fairy census. Now, if you're familiar with my channel, then you are familiar with the fairy census, most likely. But if you aren't, very briefly, I'll explain it. The fairy census is a current, ongoing academic research project conducted by Dr. Simon Young, who is a British folklore researcher. And what he is doing is basically carrying on this tradition that was started previously by Walter Evans Wentz with his book, The Fairy Faith in Celtic Countries, as well as Marjorie Johnson, who was the secretary of a little group in the UK called the Fairy Investigation Society. And she did a lot of work collecting people's experiences, firsthand experiences with fairies. And both Walter Evans Wentz and Marjorie Johnson were believers in fairies. And they did it to not only preserve folklore and culture, but also with motivation to document evidence and experience of real fairies. Now, the fairy census of today is a little different because it's not exactly Simon Young's goal to prove the existence of fairies. That's kind of an impossible task at this point. So, what he means to do is to gather data on the modern attitudes towards fairies. And this has changed over time. For instance, if you look at folklore, there was a time when fairies looked quite different than how they're portrayed in media today. They weren't small, pretty little women with wings and gowns and little sparkling magic wands. Prior to the Victorian era, they didn't have wings. They really mostly looked just like humans. Sometimes in a diminutive form and sometimes not. Often in stories, it was said that you couldn't tell the difference. Sometimes there was even a fairy double of a real person. Anyway, the point is that the appearance, the behaviors, and the attitudes towards fairies have changed throughout history. So, the fairy census is meant to gauge the modern attitudes, appearances, themes, and statistics on who sees fairies. Now, that is the academic side, but you don't have to be an academic to enjoy and find value in the fairy census. I'm certainly not an academic. I'm just a normal person who loves stories and loves hearing people's strange and potentially unexplained experiences. That's where the fairy census really shines for me. Although, I am interested in all the statistics and studious implications as well. So, in a nutshell, the fairy census is a survey where anyone can submit anonymously their experience of what they believe to be an interaction or an encounter with a fairy. When filling out the survey online, they will, of course, relate their experience in text, and then they'll also answer questions, basic statistical questions such as age, what year the event took place, gender, things like that, and then also things like, did you experience time loss during the event? Were you undertaking a repetitive task such as picking berries? Where were you when you had the experience? Were you driving? Were you in your home? Were you in a woodland or a garden? All that is very interesting. But what is one of the most interesting things about the fairy census is the variety of experiences that people submit. So tonight, our focus is going to be on stories that really make you question, what were they thinking when they submitted this experience? Because these don't sound like what are now your run-of-the-mill fairies. These are quite abstract in some cases, and it really does push the boundaries on what is a fairy. But these people did make the conscious decision to share their experience to the fairy census. And I'm not implying that these don't have a place in the fairy census. On the contrary, I often find these to be the most interesting reports. So, what we're going to do, I'm going to read the reports, and in between, I will provide some comments, and if there's any kind of additional folklore or other topics that we need to explore and expand on, we will. And at the end, we will reconvene and gather our thoughts on what it means that these reports were submitted to the fairy census. if all of that sounds interesting to you, let's get started. This first experience took place in Yorkshire, in England, sometime in the 1970s, when the witness was under the age of 10. The time was between noon and 3 p.m. A friend and I were in West Yorkshire. We lived in the countryside and often wandered over the hills and woods where there were streams. On this occasion, we were walking alongside the stream. This was quite a large stream, or beck, as we called it, when we saw a group of what I would call Shetland ponies, but they were all very strange colors, such as red, green, lilac, and others. They appeared to be eating some kind of cabbage-like plants. They were peaceful and did not look at us. They were on a small island in the middle of the stream. We were astonished, but did not cross the stream to attempt to get to them. We simply watched and, after a time, walked away to get to a farm where we were heading. On our return back the same way, the small multicolored ponies were gone. I cannot find any record of anyone else seeing this. I have searched the internet to no avail. Okay, so that doesn't really sound like a fairy at all, right? It sounds like a little pony that is a strange candy color. It's like a little cartoon pony. It sounds amazing. But why fairies? And that is one of the questions on the fairy census when you're filling out the survey is, why did you think this was a fairy experience and not something else, such as a ghost or an alien or an angel? And this witness answered, I'm not sure if it was fairies. I can't find anything in my research to confirm such. I have a neutral opinion on things that we cannot see. After this experience, I do not doubt that there may well be other beings in existence. So, they say that they're not sure if it was fairies. They just don't know what it was. And it kind of almost seems like, well, it was a supernatural experience. Fairies are a part of a supernatural experience, so maybe the fairy census is a place for supernatural experiences. And actually, in a recent lecture online that Simon did about the fairy census, he mentions this. He mentions that it seems like fairy has become kind of a catch-all term for paranormal experiences. And that seems to be the case, at least when it comes to people submitting sometimes. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Again, I think it's great that this is a forum where people can share these types of stories when they otherwise wouldn't. And the anonymity really helps with that. Anyway, I will say that they said that the little ponies were near water. And that's another one of the questions or options for questions on the survey for location-based questions. Were you on or near water? Of course, they check this off. So it is worth mentioning that there is a tradition of water horses in the categorization of fairy, such as Kelpies in Scotland. So if you're considering water horses, which are under the umbrella of fairy, maybe these were fairies. Of course, this was in the 1970s, so no one has cameras on them that they can just snap a picture of the colorful little ponies. Now, they said that they tried to find other similar experiences to no avail. I also tried a little bit myself, just kind of looking specifically in Yorkshire for something similar. And there are plenty of paranormal horse sightings, but usually kind of ghostly horsemen or headless horsemen or things like that. Didn't find any cute, colorful little ponies. Indeed, it really seems to be a pretty unique experience. But on the off chance that someone else has either heard of a similar experience or had a similar experience, please do share that because that would be very valuable to the person who had this experience and is looking for others who have had something similar happen. And also, I would love to know, of course. So some additional comments they made was, like I just said, I would dearly like to know if another has experienced a sighting like this. I have tried to find my childhood friend, but sadly have not been successful. I live in America now, many miles away from where this experience occurred. Yeah, that would be another great thing to be able to talk to the other witness and see what they remember. So, that's how we're starting off. Let's move on to our next encounter. This one took place in the U.S. in Oregon, sometime between the year 2000 and 2010, when the witness was in their 20s. The time was between 9 p.m. and midnight. Friends and I were walking along the cliff trails on a full moon night when we noticed something large and gray crouched on the trail side. It looked like a spider-human hybrid with a humanoid body, gray fur, multiple eyes and limbs. It jumped up and skittered off towards the woods. We left immediately. Talk about creepy and bizarre. Let's go over a little reiteration they gave of the appearance. Human slash spider. 6 feet. They just say 6 feet, so I don't know if that's 6 feet long. Multiple limbs. Human-like face with compound eyes. Darker markings on body. They also said, there's a question about what sounds did you hear? And they said that it hissed before it bolted. So before I read stories, I mention things like the date in which the experience took place, the decade, and the age bracket that the person was when they had their experience, and then the time. That's part of the data that is collected on the survey. And it is interesting to review the statistics later, which Simon has published what he has so far. But a couple other things that are noted was that this witness said they never or almost never have supernatural experiences. So it's not like they go around seeing strange things all the time. This was quite a remarkable event for them. And they also do say that they got a sense that the experience marked a turning point in their life. That's something that people check off a lot with these reports. So the next question would be, why is it a fairy and not something else? And this witness writes, quote, if not fae, then some kind of elemental. So they think that it's in some way attached to the woods and the nature, perhaps. Maybe a guardian of some kind. Another interesting question that's part of the survey is, do you know if the place of the experience had a reputation for fairies? And if so, did you know this prior to your experience? This person does say that this location is reported to be cursed or nexus point for ley lines. So they say that these trails, these cliff trails where they were walking, have a reputation for being cursed or perhaps have high supernatural activity. I do wish we had a bit more information or clarification on that. A little bit more details would be nice. But also, all locations on the census are anonymous. To protect the locations, you want to make sure people don't go, especially to private places, and try and find fairies or spider human hybrids, perhaps. So we can't say exactly where this was in Oregon. Next, let's look at a couple of the other boxes that they checked off when filling out the survey. Now, this person said that they experienced a profound silence before the experience, and this is what some of you will know is referred to as the Oz factor, a term coined by ufologist Jenny Randles, and it's extremely common preceding paranormal experiences. It's often described as a profound hush, a kind of silence that almost has a sound. The name of this phenomenon, the Oz factor, reflects the idea that you are about to have an otherworldly experience as you kind of feel an atmospheric shift. Hair prickling or skin tingling is common with this too. This witness checked that off as well. And these physical sensations do make you wonder if there is some sort of atmospheric shift occurring. Like how you can tell in your ears when you've made a significant change in elevation, or how static electricity can make your hair stand on end. And then, once again, they reported that the experience marked a turning point in their life. I think it would me too. I think if anything's going to do it, seeing a furry spider person is going to do it. But very unique. I don't know how many human-faced giant spider reports are out there. So once again, it's good to get this down, and it's very interesting to read. So let's move on to our next story now. This one took place in Italy, in Abruzzo, which is a region of southern Italy. This one seems to be either translated or just that English is their second language. So I will have to do a little bit of interpretation of the text. But this occurred in the 1960s when the witness was between the age of 11 and 20 and the time was between 9 p.m. and midnight. The experience starts off with saying, "It was the first time in this life." And my interpretation of that is that they're saying that this was the first time they've had this type of experience, perhaps a supernatural experience, but I'm not sure. They go on and say, "I was alone in the high woods. I saw a wonderful, brilliant, whitish being, 20 centimeters long, watching me for more than 3 minutes." And they end with saying, quote, "no words at all," end quote. So with that, I'm not sure if they're saying that the being that they saw uttered no words or if they have no words at all for what they saw. That is their experience. It's very brief, basically. They were alone in the woods when they saw a wonderful, brilliant, whitish being, 20 centimeters long, that watched them for approximately 3 minutes. When they filled out the text box for the appearance of what they saw, they wrote zoomorphic primate. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the words zoomorphic primate, I can't help but think Bigfoot. But this was so small. It was just a little over half a foot. I know that there is such a thing as smallfoot as well, but that would be a teeny tiny little foot. I think smallfoot are a little bit bigger, but I'm still in the midst of my Bigfoot and smallfoot education. It's really too bad that there aren't more details, because just what we have here is so fascinating. Well, as far as primates go, it does kind of sound like the silvery marmoset, which is an Amazonian monkey that are between 18 to 28 centimeters in size, with silvery white fur and a hairless face and ears that do lend a goblin-y appearance to them. They're very cute. Of course, Italy has no native primates, so it doesn't seem likely that our witness saw one, but, you know, maybe someone's pet marmoset got loose in the woods of Abruzzo. I suppose it's a possibility. And then also, in the text box inquiring about if there were any sounds heard during the experience, they wrote a humming. So I wonder if the humming was coming from the being or if it was just in the air, kind of like an Oz factor effect like we talked about with the last experience. It does seem like they marked that the mood of whatever they saw as friendly, it seems to be a positive experience. Now, I did say that I wish there was more details, but it also took place in the nighttime between 9 p.m. and midnight, so it was dark, so maybe they couldn't see very many details. You have to wonder how close they were to the being, if it was just a little over half a foot. They said it was brilliantly white, so it was easy to see the color of it. So there isn't a lot to go on with that one, but nonetheless, it does most certainly fall outside of the realm of your run-of-the-mill fairy. And even though it's vague, to me it is one of those fascinating submissions to the fairy census. So brief, vague, but to me, interesting. Because I don't think too many people think zoomorphic primate when they think of a fairy. But this person did. All right, let's move on to our next report, shall we? This one took place in the United States, in North Carolina, sometime between the year 2010 and 2020. The witness was in their 30s, and the time was between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. I was on a rock in the river reading while my husband fished further upriver. I was across from a park where people were walking with kids and dogs. There were two young boys walking on the trail with their dad. They began moving down towards the water when something started coming up the river, moving through the water towards them. It was pale-skinned and waterlogged-looking, with black hair and sharp serrated teeth showing in a smile. It paid me no attention, but was focused on the boys. They were pointing at it with sticks and could absolutely see it. The dad finally ushered them away from the edge of the river, seemingly unaware of it being feet from his kids. It watched them move up the trail and away with a creepy look on its face, and then moved on upriver, out of sight. It did not look friendly to me. I have seen them since childhood, different ones, and was told that they were fairies. My granny from Ireland says I have the sight like her. I was always taught to never talk to them or let them know when I see them. To me, fairies are beings from another world that sometimes share our world with us and can have good or bad intentions. Kind of a spooky one there. Now, I must say, this sounds a lot like a particular breed of water fairy, quite well established in English folklore, and also quite dear to my heart. Jenny Greenteeth is a nursery bogey, or a fairy used by mothers and nursemaids to scare children into safety and obedience. And she is local to Lancashire and the surrounding areas. Jenny Greenteeth is one of my favorite fairies, and not because she eats children, although she does do that.
Oh, indeed I do!
Much like in the report we read, she haunts pools and streams, waiting for the errant child to wander near enough to the water for her to snatch them, dragging them down to her cold, murky waters. It's assumed that Jenny was used as a device to keep children away from water and run the risk of drowning through terrifying them. And according to testimonies of people who remember hearing the stories of Jenny Greenteeth, it did indeed work, nearly traumatizing children into adulthood in the process. But this submission to the fairy census seems to allege that Jenny, or her northeastern equivalent, Peg Powler, is real and treading the rivers of North Carolina. Who knew? In all honesty, this is an incredibly creepy and unsettling report. Most intriguing is the witness's casual disposition and acceptance of the sneering, waterlogged being, and her admission that she, like her Irish granny, has the sight, or the ability to see otherworldly beings, and has seen them all her life. I wonder what other strange things she's seen, and if they too are in the pages of the fairy census. I hope so. By the way, while we're on the subject, I have to mention that Simon has an awesome article on Jenny Greenteeth and an extensive source pamphlet, which is available to read on his Academia page or in the source list for this video. So if you want to learn more about Jenny, check that out. The witness seemed to get a sense that the children could see Jenny. I called her Jenny. I'm already calling her Jenny. The witness seemed to think that the children could see whatever was in the water, this creepy, sneering, sharp-toothed, black-haired being. She said that they were pointing at it and that they could see it. So, if that is the case, I wonder if that experience will keep them from the water's edge from now on. So, that is just a glimpse of the variety and wide scope of experiences collected in the fairy census. These are but a handful of the now 1,000 or so stories compiled in the first 2 censuses, and research is ongoing. Submissions are still open for future censuses, and I will give you all the information on how to read or submit to the census in just a moment. But first, let's just briefly ponder what this says, so far, about the modern attitudes regarding fairies.
What did you expect fairies to do?
I thought they did nice things, like granting wishes.
Huh? Shows what you know, don't it?
The sheer variety of experiences in the census is simply amazing. But what does it mean? I mentioned earlier that it seems like, in terms of submissions to the census, that the word fairy seems like it could stand in for a sort of catch-all term for an unexplained and potentially supernatural experience. So, is that a new precedent for the term fairy? maybe not. In a way, in the cultures where fairies were part of the folklore, fairy could have been used in the abstract to attempt to explain something. Something as simple as an item in the house going missing to the death of a livestock or concerns one might have with their infant. Fairies were a potential explanation for something mysterious or not understood. And most of the people who have the unusual or unorthodox sightings in the census that fall out of the generally accepted idea of fairies admit that they don't know what they saw. Fairy is just one option. So it may be that it's not necessarily a supernatural catch-all, but more a supernatural possibility. Still, it's very, very interesting to see these more unusual accounts in the fairy census. I love it. It's just one of the reasons I am continuously fascinated by this ongoing survey. And it is ongoing. So before we finish up, I will let you know how you can submit your own anonymous experience. And just to be clear, the census is only for experiences that really happened. It's meant for genuine accounts and not fiction, crazy as that may seem to some people, I'm sure. So if you want to submit an experience, it can be firsthand or secondhand. Say your grandmother had an experience that she told you, or you're writing on behalf of someone who can't submit, maybe one of your children. You can go to www.fairyist.com/survey. And that's where you can fill out the form that has all the questions like what time of day is it and why do you think this is a fairy experience. Filling out the survey does provide a lot of interesting and useful information. If you have any questions about submitting to the fairy census or just about the fairy census, feel free to reach out to me as well, either in a comment on YouTube or my email is goblinquain@gmail.com. If you want to read the fairy census, you can download it for free on Simon Young's Academia page as a PDF, or if you like physical copies, it is available on Amazon. It is broken up into parts of the world. I think there's a book for North America and there's a book for the UK, but I will also have links to all of those things I just brought up, where to submit, where to read, so on and so forth, in the description of wherever you are listening. So, that is all on the fairy census for now. I do have previous videos of me reading and talking about it, so you can check my playlist on YouTube that's called Fairies, and you can find those videos there. And it's definitely going to come up again and again on my channel. So special thanks to Simon Young and the Fairy Investigation Society, and to everyone who has submitted so far to the fairy census, and thank you to you for taking the time to watch or to listen. Let me know if you have any thoughts on these experiences, if you have any thoughts on the existence of fairies, what they are, if they're real. That is all for now. I will be back very soon. But until then, take care and good night.